The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind able to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for fear they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough bread in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most fundamental human activities is feeding each other. Feeding each other. That is what made this past Thanksgiving so strange and so sad. Many people could not gather around the table and feed one another, something we all long to do. Let me hit a few highlights of how we feed one another from birth to death. Mothers should breastfeed their babies within 1 hour after the baby is born. Doctors universally agree about the health benefits of breastfeeding for babies and for their mothers. Later on in life, mothers pack lunches for their children before they go to school. I know of one mom who loves to pack lunches for her children, and inside she hides a little note for each child in the lunchbox to inspire and encourage her children. It sometimes says, "Mommy loves you. You'll do great today. Eat all your vegetables." She feeds their body and their spirit. My favorite part, and sometimes funny part, of every wedding is at the reception, when the couple feed each other with a small piece of wedding cake, sometimes getting the cake all over their face. Feeding each other with cake is a symbolic gesture of how they will feed each other, take care of each other for the rest of their lives. You know, I will always be grateful to Father Daniel during my quarantine, who brought meals to my room every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And at 4 p.m., he brought me coffee and cake. When someone is dying in a hospital, you are required by law to feed them, called nutrition and hydration. In other words, from the first hour of life till we take our last breath, the most fundamental fact of human life is feeding each other. Feeding signifies love, intimacy, and care. Our scripture readings today tell us that feeding each other is not only profoundly human, it is positively divine. That is, we imitate God when we serve each other supper. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6 says, "On this mountain, The Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 32, Jesus says, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowds, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat." In other words, like the mother breastfeeding her baby, like the wedding couple putting wedding cake in each other's mouths, like Father Daniel bringing me coffee and a cookie at 4 p.m., so God the Father and His Son deeply desire to feed us. And lest you think that Isaiah 25 and Matthew 15 are just isolated instances, let me point out how feeding punctuates the whole Bible from beginning to end. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, we read that God will feed Adam and Eve. There we read, "God also said, 'See, I give you every seed-bearing plant and all on the earth, and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit on it to be your food.'" In other words, God wants us all to be vegetarians. No, I'm just kidding. In Exodus 12, He'll tell us to eat lamb. The famous Psalm 23 about the good shepherd insists, "You set a table before me in the sight of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And the last book of the Bible, Revelation, leaves us with little doubt about how God wants to feed us. Indeed, it is a lot like a couple on their wedding day putting a piece of wedding cake in each other's mouths. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, John says, "Blessed are those who have been called to the wedding feast of the Lamb." In other words, feeding each other is not only an earthly activity, from birth to death, hatched, matched, and dispatched, but feeding is fundamentally the activity of eternity. God will feed us forever in heaven. With all this background, what we do in feeding each other and how God feeds us, I think we can appreciate why the Mass is a meal. Have you ever wondered why the most sublime and the most spiritual activity for Christians, Catholics, involves something as earthly as eating? I mean, consuming Holy Communion requires you to munch and to chew. And the priest even has to purify the sacred vessels after communion, and he must consume that water that he uses to cleanse the cup. And I got to tell you, sometimes I have to burp, like a baby being burped by its mother. Why should our highest form of worship be something as bodily as eating and drinking? Because Jesus came down from heaven not only to become a man, but to become manna, that is bread. He came not only to save our souls, but also our sarx, which is Greek for flesh. Jesus came to save body and soul. And that is why the Mass is a meal and not just a Bible study. The fourth petition of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, asks, "Give us this day our daily bread." God answers our prayer when He gives us His Son in the bread of Holy Communion at every Mass. The most fundamental human activity is feeding each other. Praised be Jesus Christ.